Have your Bibles tonight, all the little ones that brought them out tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We've been going through this year our theme as the vessel unto honor. Now I want to draw your attention to that theme again tonight, vessel unto honor. I'd like you to hold your finger into 1 Samuel. Turn back if you would. 2 Timothy. Turn if you would back to 2 Timothy. And notice with me if you would. The passage that our theme for the year. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified or pure, meet, easy to use and available, unto the master's use. And here's a word, prepared unto every good work. Prepared unto every good work. One of my greatest desires that everybody in this room would be prepared for God to use you. Now, parents, we try to prepare our children to be used of the Lord. And pastors try to prepare children and people to be used of the Lord. To be available, willing, to be clean and pure, so that God is able to use you. And someone that says, Lord, here am I. Here's the handle of my life. I give it to you. Prepared unto every good work. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Do you know how difficult it is to get everybody in a local church to say, Lord, I'm available for your use? Well, let's say we could do that for everybody. And everybody in this room could come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm prepared. I am willing. I'm clean. I've got a pure heart. All my sin is confessed, and Lord, I have no plans tomorrow to do that which would displease you. Lord, I'm yours. Now that would be a tremendous accomplishment. That would be something that would greatly honor the Lord. But I want you to notice in 1 Samuel chapter 9, tonight we need to add something a little bit to that. I want you to notice a good vessel to bad. A good vessel to bad. A lot of us have said over years, you've seen a lot of people, and I say us, I mean people that are Christians in local churches, have said, Lord, here am I. Lord, I want to do your will. But they got into doing the will of God and they turned around and said, you know what, I take it back. They didn't mean to do that, but sin crept in. I want you to see that tonight and the carefulness that we must have. Notice, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was, Kish. And notice down in verse 2, and he had a son. So Kish's son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, someone that is got a good heart, choice, someone that everybody looked at with favor. He was well-liked. Notice, if you would, there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Someone that was better looking. There was nobody better looking than Saul. Someone that was more well-liked, nobody better liked than Saul. He had all of the intangibles that God could give someone, a five-star talent. Now, probably there's not anybody in this room like that, but there may be. But you'll notice another thing, if you would, in verse number 2. And from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people, so he stood out by his height. He was just a tremendous-looking young man. But I want you to notice something else. Look in chapter 10, verse 22. Chapter 10, verse 22. when they decided to look for him as the next king, and he realized it. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered and said, or answered, behold, he hideth him, he hath hid himself among the stuff. He was a humble young man. It wasn't like he said, yeah, I'm the next king. I'd be willing to be the next king. And he stood up, and everybody could see he was taller than everybody else, and he was handsome, and he was a choice young man. He hid himself. He said, oh, I don't think I can do the job. Notice, if you would, in chapter 10, look in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with him, and shalt be turned into another man. He had the Spirit of God in his life. He had a spiritual heart. You'll notice he was a, look in verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are come on thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Now, can you imagine having physical strength, physical attractiveness, a personality of attractiveness, and a diligent leader? You'll notice, if you would, in other passages, you don't have to turn there, but in 11, 4 through 7 and 11, you'll see he was leader of his country, and everybody said, we want to follow him. So he had leadership skills, he was handsome, he was strong, and he was humble. Now, what more in the world could you start out with and then add on top of all of that? The Lord was with him. Wouldn't all of us like to have a start like that? And that was Saul. He came from a family that was well-liked, well-known in Israel. His father wasn't famous, but he was well-liked. And you'll notice one other ingredient. He was very wise. You don't have to turn there, but in chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, you have to turn there. But he was a very wise young man. So he made good decisions for his age. Now, the only way that can happen is if God gives us wisdom. So he was close to the Lord. He was wise. He had all the leadership skills. He was courageous. And if you put it all together, this was the perfect king. Now, you remember that the children of Israel said, Lord, give us a king. And so God went out and really worked in a young man's heart and gave them the perfect king. And they looked at him and said, God save the king. Wow, what a king we've got. He's young. He'll be here for many, many decades. And, well, we just got it made. But then I want you to notice that just having the Lord's presence today is no promise of his presence tomorrow. That's something all of us need to learn from the lessons of Saul. A tremendous lesson we can learn is that you have to walk with the Lord day by day. And when I encourage you and challenge you to have your devotions daily and to spend time with the Lord personally every day, walking with the Lord and having the Lord's presence in your life is gone that quick. Now, I want you to notice what happened, if you would, in Saul's life. He's a vessel unto honor, and then in a matter of 2 years, he's a vessel unto great dishonor. How? Why does that happen? I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, look in chapter 15. And we're going to look at the end result. It's chapter 15. We'll look at the end result. We'll see it after about five, six years, you'll notice here, look at God's assessment of him. In verse 11, this is 1 Samuel 15:11, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. It causes me to change. I wished I had not let Saul become king. I changed my mind. For he has turned back from following me. Now, folks, that's a daily choice every one of us have to make. You get up in the morning and say, I want to serve the Lord today. If you make that decision every day, daily pick up your cross and follow him. It's a daily choice. Saul got busy with the things of being a king, and he didn't make that decision every day. And at the end result, after a few short years, he turned back and said, in his heart it wasn't like, I'm not going to serve the Lord. That was never a statement made. But his presence with the Lord, if the Lord is here, he had grown way over here. Because he didn't daily make that decision. Now, when you daily make that decision, it's you daily confess your sin. You daily cleanse your heart. You daily add new scripture into your life. You daily talk to the Lord. You keep that close relationship. And without doing those three things, confessing sin, adding things of scripture to your heart, and talking with the Lord regularly, without those three things, you can drift from the Lord. And if you go days on end, weeks on end, you'll turn around and look and say, wow, how did God get away over there? Notice what the Lord's assessment was. Look here. He has turned back from following me. Now, there's one more thing that's an ingredient in turning back from following with the Lord, and it always involves this one. Notice the next phrase. And if not, perform my commandments. It always involves disobedience. Now, you'll notice that Saul was very obedient and loved the Lord. And when his father said, I want you to notice this. Look with me, if you're back over in chapter 9. Notice, if you would, with me. In chapter 9, verse 5. Notice how obedient a son he was. This is 1 Samuel 9. In verse 3, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So they lost the donkeys that they had. And Kish said to his son, Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and seek the asses. So son, I want you to go find our donkeys and bring them back. And so you notice in verse 4, they pass through. In verse 4 at the very end of it, but they found them not. So they go all these different places and can't find them. They've been gone for a while. In verse 5, and when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. He was a very thoughtful young man. He said, you know, I don't want my dad to worry. My dad told me to go find the donkeys, but we can't find them. We need to go back to dad, report to him, and tell him. So you see a young man of great obedience, but something happened in those few short years of leadership as a king. He lost the presence of the Lord. He turned away from the Lord, and he stopped obeying the Lord. Now, folks, tonight, all of us in this room, we control those things. You control your obedience to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you control that. No, I'm not going to get up this morning and have my devotions. No, I'm not. Opportunity to tell the truth or not tell the truth. Opportunity to pay your bills, not pay your bills. Opportunity to be a witness and I'm not going to do it. Opportunity to whatever it might be, but the Holy Spirit places an opportunity in your life and we refuse to do it. We've begun the road to step away from the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's a child. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. If you're an employee and you look at your boss, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't matter what it is. Obedience is obedience. And you'll find that it always starts getting away from the Lord with disobedience. Notice, if you would, with me. Not only was he fall back from following the Lord, and he was disobedient, but I want you to notice what happens to him. Look down in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. We'll see the real root problem. Folks, tonight I want you to watch this problem. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king of Israel? You know what he was saying? When you were humble. But now something's happened. What is it? You've become king, you've become prideful. And folks, listen very carefully today. Stuff and position brings pride. So if you've got a closet full of clothes, you be careful, it causes pride. If you've got a garage full of cars, be careful, it can cause pride. with the blessings of God. He was in the position of God's will for his life. But in that position, he got out of the will of God, even though he remained king. Why? Because he lost his heart. He was a vessel unto honor and became a vessel unto dishonor. The biggest reason? Pride. People came to him and said, "Oh, king, can you help with this? Oh, king, can you do this? Or, oh, king, can you protect my lands? Oh, king." And so he kept getting more and more. "Oh, king, you're a wonderful king. You're the greatest king of Israel." And they've only had one. "But you're the greatest king we've ever had. But you're a great king, Saul." And it just kept going to his head and kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we don't start out by saying, "I'm just not going to do what the Lord wants." We compromise a little bit. You'll notice in verse 3 of chapter 15, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not." He says, "Look, I want you to destroy it all." And verse 8, "And he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep." You know what they did? They partially obeyed. Folks, tonight, be careful. God has blessed every one of us in this room with a lot of things. And many of you have great positions in your business or in the government in this life. And you have respect from people under you. Be careful. Because pride begins to set in. "I am somebody. I can take some liberties. I don't really have to do what everybody else does." The leader should do more than everybody else. Should work harder. Should be sweeter. Should be more gracious. But yet determined to do what's right. You're going to find that Saul becomes arrogant. He becomes mean-spirited. How does a king that had such a vessel unto honor turn out to try to chase David, God's chosen king, next? Because he was filled with pride and said, "I don't want him to be king. I want my son to be king. I don't care what God wants. I want my son to be king." And anytime you and I look at something in our life, a direction, an item, "I want that for my son, for my family, doesn't matter what it is. I want that at any cost. I want that." Now, none of us would say "at any cost," but we really are saying that when we say, "I want that more than I want to do what's right." And that's what Saul did. "I want David dead." And he almost killed his own son because of it. He threw a javelin at Jonathan because he became friends with David. And Saul said, "Don't you know Jonathan? He's going to be the next king. He was anointed king. Don't you understand that? He's going to take your place." And Jonathan said, "Yeah, I understand it, Dad. It's okay with me." And the king became furious. You know why? He wanted something outside the will of God. Tonight, is there anything you want outside the will of God? Be careful. Be careful. You want that job, that promotion, that next raise, that next vehicle, that house, that next step up in position. Be careful. Now understand this. The blessings of God are all those things. Abraham was blessed of God and he had 318 servants. The blessings of God were Job. He was the richest man of the East. The blessings of God. God loves to bless his children. "Prove me now herewith, saith not the Holy, saith the Lord of God of heaven, if I want to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it." God loves to bless us. But you got to protect your heart. Because doing the will of God, if you're not careful, if we are not careful, we get lifted up with pride. We get the feeling like we're somebody. When in reality, we're just a chosen vessel. We're just a servant. If you have your Bible, I want you to see tonight. If you have your Bible, look at chapter 18 and verse 7 and 8. I just want you to see a couple of things about Saul. "And the woman answered," verse 6, "It came to pass as they came that when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet with Saul, with tabrets and joy, with the instruments of music. And one woman answered one another And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. When somebody else gets a little more credit than you, what does it do to your heart? Folks, when is it we should be worried about getting credit? When is it we should be worried about our work being noticed? When we step foot in heaven. The time you and I want to worry about and want to be concerned about and focused on, that God notices that we've been faithful and labored for Him, whether it's in a small place behind the scenes. Paul Bears was a janitor. He cleaned out all the toilets. He emptied all the trash cans. Now, I didn't necessarily walk around with Paul and empty all the trash cans and help him carry it out day after day. But in 25 years, I never one time heard him say to me, Pastor, I wish somebody else could just carry out this trash for once. Oh, Pastor. Now, I did hear him say, Pastor, you put a lot of trash in your can. For a pastor, you really put a lot of trash in here. I did hear that. But I never heard him. He always had that spirit. And of anybody, you know, he had that job where you could look at it and say, well, his job's not very important. Anybody here want to do it? For his pay? He was retired from AT&T. It takes a heart to say, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And you know what? Then it doesn't matter what you do. It's honorable. That's the reason why the ushers came in, a bunch of ushers came in on Saturday and swept all the carpets, cleaned them all. But you didn't know that, did you? Some of the other people, another guy came in and mowed all the grass twice this week to make sure it looked right. I respect people that do jobs that are repetitive over and over again and never complain. Because payday's coming when it's done right. And you don't look for credit like Saul did. No! They're giving David more credit than me. And I'm the king. Pride lifts us up. It makes us feel arrogant. Notice what happens. Verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And notice verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. You know what that means? Eyed David, he was jealous of him from then on. Be careful of jealousy, it'll ruin your heart. Pride started, jealousy came over, and he lost his kingdom. Because he turned away from the Lord. I don't want David to be king, I want Jonathan, my son, to be king. Now that's a logical desire for a king. But it's not a logical desire for a spiritual king. And you and I in this room have to understand there are a lot of things that are logical to us that are not to God, and we follow Him because we're servants. I want always. I so much respected Paul Bears for the way he did his job. And for who he was. He taught a Monday night, a Friday night Bible study for years and years and years and years and years. And the people that had Bible study came up for the funeral and they said, we don't know what we're going to do now. We've got nobody to lead us. He was a leader. Nobody knew that. He didn't go around telling everybody all about it, what he did. But I can tell you the number of times he'd come in my office and say, Pastor, I got a Bible question for you. And we'd sit down and discuss it. We'd go through scripture. That's the janitor. He wasn't just that. And you can't think of Paul Bear like that. He's in charge of Awanas, and for many years and years and years and years and years, he did anything that was asked of him. You know, when the funeral came about, it was hot in the auditorium. I was telling everybody, anybody know why it was hot in the auditorium? Paul's in heaven. He didn't fix them. We don't schedule Thursday funerals. So the air is not on Thursday. So I came in the room and somebody came up to me and said, Pastor, the auditorium's hot. And I said, my first thought was not, my first thought was, where's Paul? Then I thought, that was my second thought. And so I came in here and started to adjust all the thermostats. And, you know, anybody here can adjust a thermostat. But you know, you get to panicking. And it took me two trips through the whole auditorium to get the thermostats right. And in my heart, I said, where's Paul? Why couldn't he have gone to heaven 2 weeks from now? That would have been better. It's not what you do. It's who you are that makes a difference. And young people, I want to encourage you to be somebody in his eyes. Now, Saul started out with the presence of the Lord in his life. And when he started up the ladder, when he started doing the will of God for his life, and understand this, doing the will of God always is up. God works in our lives. That doesn't mean sometimes he doesn't have a downtrend, but the trend is this. Because the more we serve him, the greater the weight and the more details he gives to us. Yet we have to protect our heart. How do we do that? Before we go there, I want to remind you of what Saul lost. He lost his kingdom. He lost his sons in battle, fighting for what he wanted. That would have never happened if he allowed God to be the ruler, if it had been doing the will of God. Number three, he lost his own life. Why? Because he was jealous and prideful and wanted his own thing. And that will always happen to us. A vessel that started out good ended up bad. How? If you have your Bible, turn back to 2 Timothy. I want you to see this very quickly and we'll close. Notes with me if you would. Now I'm going to remind you of this. Not something new. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that Christ has given to you. The sweetness, the salvation, the goodness that God's given to you. Be strong in that. Notice what he says in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Okay? When hard times come, endure them. Be strong with them. Don't let them break you. When Saul heard the words, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s, it could have been a hard time for him. He should have gone to his knees and said, Lord, I'll trust you. Lord, I ask that you'd protect my kingdom. Lord, if you have this young man, David, Lord, give me wisdom as how to give it over to him. But his heart would have been broken. But let me ask this question. Has anybody ever thought about John the Baptist? He was born to two very quiet and godly people. A priest. Very godly. That had prayed for him for years. And it is a miracle birth. And God said, he's going to be a great man, but he's going to break your heart. And John the Baptist lived. He lived a godly life, and he was a little different man. He wore camel's hair and for clothes. I mean, he was out in the wilderness, and he walked with God. When he got up to preach, thousands came to hear him. And then one day, Jesus comes into town, and all the crowds leave him. And you know what he said? He said, that's not fair. No, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now that is the attitude of a servant. And then he was put into prison for preaching the truth, and Jesus is out drawing bigger crowds. And his disciples that were following him says, who do we follow? Can you imagine how hard that must have been for John the Baptist? And yet Jesus said, a greater among women has never been born than John the Baptist. Why? He must increase and I must decrease. That's one of the hardest phrases to utter genuinely on earth. I want him lifted up, and I want to be decreased. Yet that should be every employee's desire for their boss to be lifted up. Well, I want him lifted up. Every wife to her husband, every husband to the Lord, every pastor to the Lord. I want you to increase. It's important that we learn the lesson of enduring through difficult times. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. But notice, if you would, verse 4. And I think this is one of the key things for us that have been blessed. And I consider all of us in this room to be blessed. Jeremy and Mandy came back with the kids, and so, they're all walking around with blankets, you know. I mean, they're outside, it's cold. And Jeremy says, man, he said, I'm really enjoying this cool weather. And I said, well, that's great. He said, but it's a little chilly. I said, 70 degrees, son. And he was getting on the plane to go back, and he says, yeah, he said, it's not going to be where I'm going. He said, it's going to be hot. And he said, so I'm going to soak it in. You know, God's will for Jeremy Pittman is hot. And you learn and say, Lord, that's what I want. If God would have called me to Siberia, Russia, I hope my attitude would have been, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. But I don't like cold. But Lord, I'll submit my will to yours. Now follow along with me. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Boy, a key passage. If you're going to fight the good fight, warreth, active duty, you can't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Let me tell you what those affairs are. Paying your bills. They don't become first. I got to pay this bill. I can't give them a tithe because I got to pay this bill. I can't do this. I got to pay that bill. I can't do this. I got to pay that bill. No, you can't have this, honey. We got to pay this bill. You can't let the affairs of this life take away your attention from saying, Lord, here's my bills. I've tried to be careful. Lord, would you help me? No man that warreth entangleth himself. And entangle, the word impleco, is to weave in and out of. It's a slow process. It takes time, and it's in the middle voice here. We do it to ourselves. Nobody here entangles somebody else. We entangle ourselves. That's what happened to Saul. He said, well, you know, I'm king, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and you know, I want to be respected, and I want everybody in this country to know that I'm the king. And pride was woven into his life, and arrogance was woven into his life. Nobody can sing about somebody else. I'm the one they're supposed to be singing about. And he goes, well, where did that young man that hid among the stuff go? Humble yourself. And he will lift you up. I want you to listen to this verse. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. No man that warreth entangleth himself. You don't allow your dreams to entangle you. Saul did. I'm king, and I'm going to keep it. And my dream is to give it to my son. He entangled himself. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a few years. He got lifted up with pride, and so when God said, I want you to do this, he did half of that because it didn't make sense to him. He made decisions based upon what made sense to him and not in obedience. And folks, tonight, when you and I see something in truth of God's word, when it says don't lie, you don't lie, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the benefits are or the punishments are, you don't lie. And you tell the truth, and you're honest, and you don't steal. All these different things are but you know this or that. And so we begin to make compromises in our heart. We begin to weave in our lives. Now, the affairs of life, technically, are things we ought to do. pay your bills. There are things we ought to do. We ought to come to church. We ought to be in Sunday school. We ought to join the choir, be in different things. We ought to do things for the Lord, be spiritual. We ought to pass out tracts. We ought to be a witness. But what ends up happening is, now notice this, and then the rudimentary things of life, I got to go get the oil changed in the car. I've got to go get new tires on the car. I've got to go get to make sure the insurance is there. I've got to go pay the taxes, personal property taxes. And so all these things begin to come in our mind, and we don't take our time in the morning and say, Lord, now watch. We get entangled with all the things of life. I can only do so much. Your wife, the affairs of life are cooking sometimes, and maybe your husband cooks or you cook, but you wash the clothes, keep the house, and the affairs of this life can entangle you to where you say, nobody appreciates me. That's what Saul did. And so the things of this life entangle you. Martha got entangled. You're cumbered about with much serving. Notice, if you would, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Keep in mind who you're trying to please. Are you trying to get praise and credit from your husband or your wife or your parents or your uncle or your aunt or your boss? Or are you trying to please the Lord? If you're trying to please the Lord, then you can wait for payday. Number one, who are you trying to please? Number one, endure hardness. Number two, who are you trying to please? And number three, notice verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Folks, tonight, if Saul would have said, I'm going to endure the hard times, and I'm not going to get entangled with the affairs of this life, I'm going to please the Lord. I want to please him. Sometimes you have to look over our dreams to the Lord and say, Lord, I want your dreams. That's a hard thing to do. That's reason to have so much respect for John the Baptist. And on top of all of that, what did John the Baptist get for all of his troubles? Some girl danced half naked in front of the king, and he said, I'll give you anything you want. His wife, her mother, was mad at John the Baptist and said, ask for his head. And John the Baptist got his head taken off. You would look at John the Baptist and say, wow, what a wasted life. And yet he had as much impact as anybody in Scripture. Tonight, it's not our will, but his will. If we're submitted tonight, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to do your will. That's half the battle. But then we have to walk daily and not get entangled with the affairs of things we're supposed to do. And we have to study to show ourselves approved. How do you do that? Every morning you get up and you take a little bit of God's word and you study it and you read it. And you get a little time and you pray. If you don't do that, you will fall one of these days soon. The secret to the Christian life is a daily time with the Lord. Because the second something comes in between you and the Lord, you know it. Whether it be an anger in your heart, the second Saul was angry and walked out and heard those songs the women were singing, he became angry and he looked at his own son, he should have said, wait a minute, something's wrong in my heart. And he can't go to his knees the next morning and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of any of my sin. And Lord, show me. Search me, oh God. Show me where I'm wrong. He would have seen it the next morning. I worked with youth for 15 years. My wife and I did. I never saw the young person that ever got in trouble that looked at me and said, I've been having my devotions every day for the last 30 days, faithfully. Never saw it. It's either or. Study to show thyself approved. I'm studying. I'm being careful of being trapped by the things that I'm supposed to do. Folks, I have the same problems you do. I have cars. I have a house. I've got yard to mow. I've got clothes to get cleaned and things to do. And here at the church, and I've got people to visit in the hospital. How many of you knew that Bill Stiltner, how many of you knew who won Paul Bearers to Christ? Bill Stiltner won Paul Bearers to Christ. He's a former member of our church for many years. He worked with Paul for 27 years. He witnessed to him and witnessed to him and finally won him to Christ. And Paul's life changed, and Bill Stiltner was rejoicing. He moved years and years ago down to Southern Virginia. He called me and said, I'm going to come up to Paul's funeral. And I said, the family wants you to be a pallbearer. He said, I would be honored. He got all the way up here, got sick, and went to the hospital and missed the funeral. He was just sick. Well, he called up the church and said, I can't come. I'm in the hospital. You know what he was saying? Pastor, I sure would like for you to come visit with me. I'd like to see you again. He's not a member of our church. I mean, pastors don't visit hospitals anyway in this town. So I can make every reason why I don't have time to do that. But we got in the car with Jeremy and Mandy because Jeremy said, Dad, I remember when I first came here, Bill Stiltner took me fishing to Lake Anna. He cared for me. Dad, I want to go see him. And we walked in, and he was asleep on his bed. I tapped on the end of the bed, and Bill Stiltner looked up. Wow, what a blessing! He said, who are those kids there? These are Jeremy's children. Jeremy's children? Wow, he'd been gone for a long time. He was so thrilled. You know, sometimes we get so involved with things we ought to do that we leave out the things that we've got to do. Tonight, if you're going to still be doing right and in your seat in a year from now, you're going to do the things you got to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Protect you from being ashamed. Don't let yourself be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't let the things you're supposed to do get to your heart and stop you from the things you've got to do. And then finally, who are you trying to please? Who is it you're looking forward to pleasing? Is it your wife? We want to please our wives. Is it your husband? You want to please our husband. But who are you really trying to do all this for? Please him. Nobody's really said much about it. But I heard about a missionary that spent some time, been 12, 13 years on the mission field. Older man, his wife. Done some good things, good work. Got a good work going. I heard about 2 weeks ago how that he had fallen into sin. Immorality on the mission field. I sat down and said, how does that happen? To be a vessel that says, I'll go any place you want me to go, do anything you want me to do, to falling into sin. Immorality is not really much different than pride and arrogance and anger and trying to kill your own son, like Saul. How do you go from a usable vessel unto honor to a vessel unto dishonor? You leave out three things. You stop trying to please him. You stop trying to be careful of the way you do things in life, priorities. First things first. And you stop studying to show yourself approved. You stop studying God's word. Tonight, protect yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Tonight, watch out. Summer's coming. It seems like we relax, we take vacations. How many of you have noticed this? How many have noticed it's easier to not do your devotions when you're taking vacation? I mean, you get busy and you forget your Bible or how many of you have noticed that when you have time off, it's a little easier to do what's right when you're in a mode of discipline? When you get a little bit of time relaxed, you take a vacation, we sort of take a vacation from the Lord. We get that promotion, that raise, we sort of think, wow, look, I've done a good job. Who are you trying to please? Keep your priorities right and study to show thyself approved. Don't be ashamed. I'll close with this last thought. You know that word ashamed? It's the word for disfigured, unusable, detestable. I thought of that missionary coming home from 13 years on the field. He's made a lot of sacrifices. And now he's disfigured spiritually. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be like Saul. Don't be like David. Don't be like Jonah. And the list goes on and on and on. Protect yourself. Who are you trying to please? What are your priorities? What are you putting in your mind? Study. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I'll ask the pianist to play 353, Search Me, O God. Could I encourage you tonight? Leave here tonight with perfect peace. Leave here tonight protected. Teenager, who are you trying to please? Mom and Dad, what are your priorities? All of us, are you studying God's Word faithfully? Are you having time with Him every day? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Protect us from sin. Protect us from disfigurement, Lord, from being ashamed. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, please. Page 353. If you need to come tonight, first verse. We'll not play long. If you need to come, this verse is for you.
Search me, O God.
Come right ahead. Last verse.
We're going to have our business meeting, so if you have children, please go get them out of the nursery and come in. We'll wait about 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll go ahead and get started. Be sure and get a business sheet out in the back, the financial sheets in the back. There are two of them. There is a proposed budget and a current budget, so you want to get both of those, but come on back in, and we'll have our business meeting tonight. I just remind you of one thing. Brother Paul was such a gracious man. And yet, you know, he led our Awanas, and I think people respected him in so many different ways. And he wanted to do what was right. He enjoyed life, always had a smile. But the one thing I remember about him was that passion to try to please the Lord. I don't ever remember asking Paul to do something that he didn't want to do, that he didn't give me the impression he wanted to do. When the basement of the servant suite would flood at 2 o'clock in the morning, he'd go pump it out. When the commodes would flush over there. So, you know, I remember one time going down, Paul said, "Pastor, I can't unstop this commode. I don't know what it's like." And I had my tie on. I went down there. And I'm thinking in my mind, I was going down there, and I said, you know,
What am I doing? I'm going out there and stop and come up with a towel. I don't normally do that. And I got to thinking, if Paul can do it, I can do it. Now, Paul didn't have a tie on. And I got my tie in the stuff. But Lord, give me an attitude like Paul. So you know what? We just have a policy. No prima donnas. If a commode stops up, nearest guy and stops it. Commode backs up, nearest guy cleans it up. I've seen Carolyn one time down there mopping it up. I've seen Paul many times. I've seen Jeanette Johnson. I have respect for people that do things that have got to be done that other people think they're too good for. Folks, tonight, nobody in this room is too good for anything that God needs us to do. Keep that in mind. Lord Jesus, would you help us to keep humble hearts? Lord, protect us from the attitude of pride and arrogance. Would you help us to realize none of us would ever be used unless you were willing to use a flawed vessel. Lord, help us be a vessel unto honor. In your name we pray.